At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander back in the fold. Jeffrey Parlay here as well. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing well, Gil. Welcome home.
Nice job last week with Ben.
Appreciate it.
Tuesday through Friday. Who did Monday? JVT did Monday, I believe.
Sounds right.
Okay.
I was still in Chicago at that point, so not certain.
So how was your wedding tour? By the way, well, thanks for everybody. I appreciate you doing it, Ben doing it, JVT, everybody hanging out here during a numbers game. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup moving along. We'll get into all that. Your wedding tour was good?
The wedding we went to in Champaign was a good time. Champaign, Illinois, that is.
Champagne.
It was a good trip. Enjoyed ourselves on that trip a week ago. Enjoyed ourselves in Southern California this week. It was good.
You want to watch the Mets take 2 of 3 from
yeah,
Anaheim?
Yeah, saw Friday night, so that was good. I didn't miss the game where Trout homered twice, which even though the Mets would have lost, it would have been cool to see Trout do something cool. But it was good. Good experience.
Right. Well, glad to have you back here. We still have much to get into. We're going to talk baseball with Paul Spohr later on the show today. Stanley Cup Finals. The Lanch and the Ning, is that what we're calling it? Andy McNeil will be here later to discuss that. We'll talk NBA, you and I. Obviously, the Warriors and the Celtics in a de facto best of three with the Warriors. The Dubs haven't taken back home court. Oh, funny thing happened along the way to that gentleman sweep of the Warriors, huh? Everybody was talking about. Stop it. There will be no such blasphemy ever on this show. And I like that everybody's discovering that Steph Curry's the greatest. For those of us who lived 20 years in the Bay, we've been screaming this for decades, plural now. Well, at least more than one. We'll get into all that. And we'll get into college baseball. Ben Wilson will join us. So basically for the week that I was gone, what did I bet the whole time? Not the whole time because there wasn't games for 3 games in the middle of the week. But the most betting was done on college baseball. Regionals giving way to super regionals, which are still going on with 2 more games today, and then the College World Series with 8 teams advancing next week. We will get into all that. Wes Reynolds will join us, get his preliminary thoughts on the U.S. Open, golf's 3rd major this week, right off a Canadian Open where Rory McIlroy wins. Now everybody's going to be all about Rory, I suppose, going into the U.S. Open. We'll get Wes Reynolds' thoughts on that. So we're loaded on the back end. But first, let me just say, Jeff, in getting here yesterday, and this will all come back to the betting, how betting made it palatable. But yesterday, I had a direct flight from Washington, D.C. to Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, there's not many direct flights that exist anymore from certain markets to others. Used to be like all day long, you had options. D.C., there's like literally one nonstop from Reagan National, which is the one in D.C., which is the one right across the Potomac River, right in Northern Virginia, right in Alexandria. I believe it's Alexandria, technically. But it's the one closest to D.C. by far, and there's only one nonstop. And it's a major carrier, and I will not name this major carrier, but let's just say it's the one you're thinking of. No, maybe it's not. Maybe it's the other one. Anyway, it's an 8 a.m. flight, supposed to arrive in Vegas early in the morning. You have a full day to relax and recover. No problem. The only other nonstops are like later in the evening from Dulles, which is the Virginia, the deeper Virginia option for those familiar with the DMV and who might have grown up there or just familiar with it from traveling. Great airport, but for those of us who live in D.C., it's far. Anyway, arrive at the airport. What is it? This falls under the category of what is happening to this world? What is happening to this country? So arrive there for an 8 a.m. flight. You wake up 5:45 in the morning. That's what I did. You know, get ready to go out. Get to the airport on time. Get to the airport. Look up at the board. You know, casually you're walking in, ho-hum, with your bags. You're like, oh, this will be sweet. Just get on a flight, fall asleep, be in Vegas, no problem. Casually, you know, glance at the board. Canceled. What? I was just getting my boarding pass before I went to bed. So apparently in the middle of the night, Jeff, 1:15 in the morning, this airlines casually sends an email. No, I wasn't signed up for text services like I was with the other major carrier. They casually send emails out to everybody saying, oh, yeah, flight's canceled. Sorry. You're rebooked on a Monday flight, which, by the way, has a connection. And, oh, by the way, your seat now sucks, too. So none of us know this. The line is a mile long in the airport. Everybody arrives. Nobody sees the email. We're all in this windy snake line. And so you are beside yourself because you're like, wait a minute. Like, you can't do this to people. People have jobs. You can't, like, people are going to, there are some people here who may lose their job if they don't show up for work tomorrow. Who knows what people's circumstances are, right? You don't know. And you say, all these things go through you. You're mad at the other people in line who don't care because they're like, oh, this works for me. But some people have responsibility. Anyway, so for those 30, 40 minutes you're in line, you're stewing, you have three options. You're like, okay, one, do I just accept the flight tomorrow? Again, not nonstop, worst seat, with a connection. Do you then, or do you purchase a seat on a nonstop later that day from Dulles for an exorbitant amount of money because it's same day? Or do you wait the 30, 40 minutes because you know how long it's going to take? You can tell. You do the quick math, number of people in line, time I'm moving two steps, and then see what they offer you. I opted for number three, Jeff. What would you have done? Would you have gone number two? I almost pressed the button. I was literally on submit to buy the flight on the other from the other airport.
Similar situation happened to myself and my fiance in our trip where we had a flight canceled. It wasn't quite like yours where it was canceled in the middle of the night. It was we picked box two on that one where we ended up taking an Uber from LaGuardia to Newark to fly out of Newark the following morning. For a much bigger cost, but
I just didn't want to deal with that.
I would have taken box two unless if it was just so ridiculously priced.
It was.
Then box three would have probably been the choice.
So I get to the front. The people who are on the front lines, right? It's not their fault this happened. She looks at me. I go, I'm on the Vegas flight. She goes, oh no, not another. I go, oh yeah. What are we doing? So you try to be nice because there's no point in getting mad at them because it's just going to be worse for you, right? So you got to just bite your tongue. You're like, all right, just hook it up. What can you do? And I say, how do you guys get away with this? This is outrageous, right? Like I know, and imagine us having to deal with you guys, right? There's that whole exchange. Anyway, long story short, that's possible. She's like, why don't you take this flight to Dallas now? I can put you on a later flight from Dallas to Vegas and try to go standby earlier. I'm like, all right. She goes, my advice is just get out of here. Because, first of all, box number one, just accepting the flight for tomorrow, you don't know they're not going to cancel that either, right? There's no guarantee. So you definitely don't take box number one. So anyway, I go to Dallas. I'm like number one or number two standby on not one, not two, not three, but four flights before the one that I am scheduled to go on. Nope, couldn't get on any of them. Not a one. From waking up in the morning to D.C. to arriving in Vegas yesterday, at my apartment, guess how many hours? Just guess.
Oh, you texted me it, so I shouldn't guess.
18 hours. I could have flown to the Middle East and halfway back. Oh, I'm exhausted. Anyway, here's what made it palatable. The whole day I'm betting college baseball in the Super Regionals. And now, if you were here with Ben Wilson will be joining us later this hour to talk about his plays. I don't know if he has any on the two games that remain today in the Super Regionals, but certainly moving forward, once those odds are posted for the College World Series, he may have thoughts on that. You may remember that Ben was on this show a little over a week ago, and he gave out three winners in the regionals, all, I believe, at plus money, and all of whom, those three teams, are all alive still. In fact, the three plays he gave out in the regionals, Oklahoma plus 265, they won their pod in the regionals. Auburn plus 150, they won their pod. And Notre Dame plus 145. 3-0, all plus money. Nothing wrong with that. You may also remember that I casually mentioned, while Ben was on, that we had four, I had four futures going. Me and Brad Porras had four futures going. Texas, 15-1. They are in the World Series, which, remember, goes from 64 to 16 to 8. Eight teams go to Omaha next week for the College World Series. I have Texas at 15-1, Stanford at 30-1. Stanford is the one that needs to win to get in today. That's one of two games remaining today. Texas A&M, 40-1. They haven't lost in either the regionals or the super regionals. They are going to the World Series. And Ole Miss, baby, who's gone 5-0 as well. Rebels, 100-1 to win the College World Series. This is from pre-flop before the regionals. Hope you played any and all of those, Ben's or mine. And the biggest news of all of this, and we'll talk to Ben about this, the University of Tennessee, the number one team in the country, got bounced yesterday. So the value of all those tickets, and I really hope you jumped on these, the value of all those tickets has just gone to the moon. University of Tennessee was 53-7 this regular season in college baseball. 53-7. In fact, we talked about it briefly on Primetime Action, and Matt Brown, who played college baseball at LSU, he's like, Tennessee is just so good that even just betting the other teams, like, it just doesn't matter unless Tennessee, until Tennessee gets knocked out, I'm paraphrasing, there's really kind of no discussion. And he's probably right about that. But it happened. Notre Dame took him out. So from a 53-7 regular season, they end up 56-9, I believe, in the end. No, check that. 57-9. Done. After a 53-7 regular season. So college baseball, we'll have thoughts from Ben Wilson on the two games today that remain. Rubber matches to see who the final two teams of the eight that enter the World Series next week will be. Let's go Stanford. Let's get it done. And then we'll get some thoughts on the futures when they come out as well. We'll have to actually have Ben back on once those do get posted. Talk NBA next and Major League Baseball. Oh, the Dubs, can they get it done? Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip. With your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. Jeff, what have you been betting on, man? I heard there's this golfer that you're obsessed with betting. Kelly Bidlin told me this. He's like, did Parlay tell you he keeps betting this one golfer? You're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about.
What's he talking about?
Who is it that they, like he said? Is it
I mean I
Riley?
I bet Davis Riley a few weeks in a row, but that, I wouldn't say I was obsessed with betting Davis Riley.
That's the word around the streets. Okay. It's the buzz on the streets.
I feel I'm at a point where he's getting close. Like, bet him top 20. You've made some money the last 6 weeks or so, but I wouldn't say I'm obsessed with betting Davis Riley.
I don't know, Jeff. We're going to say you're obsessed. Okay. That's the story we're going with. Kelly's like, did he ever tell you that? I was like, no, he never told me he'd betting Davis Riley. Well, one day you'll get there.
Well, then eventually the week I don't bet him.
Of course. That's how it happens. Golf is self-loathing betting. The one week you don't bet him, he'll take you down. Tennis, again, the Twitter feed is sort of, it's not a run over with tennis pick requests, but it does have a few there. And I just want to say, it's 2 weeks till Wimbledon. Grass court season is the shortest of all the seasons in tennis. Am I betting tennis? Yes. Am I, like, you know, doing it seriously here? No, I'm sort of treading lightly. Split a couple this morning. I'm on Siniakova right now, or Siniakova, I guess it's pronounced, against Bianca Andreescu here as a big dog. They keep breaking each other's serves on serve now. But generally speaking, won't have tennis picks on the show till Wimbledon in 2 weeks. Is that a good policy, Jeff? Is that what you accept that policy?
Yes.
Jeff wants no part of it. I wants no part of being part of any non-tennis picks.
No, I think it's fair. I mean, you have 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We can all relax for 2 weeks, and everyone will be betting Wimbledon. They'll be good.
Though I may be taking a $4 flyer, close to a $4 flyer, a little later on Gasanova against Sasnovich. I just want to point that out. But generally won't have picks. Because, again, the data is such with grass that, and I'm talking about playing tennis on grass, that you just don't have the robust sample size. Going into last week, you had a lot of players who just within 6 months, they got nothing. It's just year data. So it's a little bit more art than it is science, or a lot more art typically than it is on hard courts or clay. That said, I just do want to point this out. The first week of grass court tennis, I don't know if you saw this, Berrettini won. No surprise there, really. Great grass court player. I was on Beatrice Maya Haddad, who won her first maiden tournament, who won a maiden tournament on grass. But the big story, and I don't know if you saw this, Jeff, was Tim Van Righthoven. Do you see this?
That's a person?
He's a 25-year-old Dutch player who, forget never having won a tournament in his life, had never won a match on the ATP Tour before, and only got into this tournament in the Netherlands this past week on a wild card because he's Dutch. Was that a line from Michael Caine in the Austin Powers? There's two things I can't stand in this world. It's intolerance of other cultures and the Dutch. One of the great lines ever. Love the Dutch. Anyway, he not only wins an ATP match, he gets in on a wild card, otherwise he'd be playing on a Challenger Tour, and he wins the tournament. And he's crushing people. Medvedev, he just destroyed in the finals. He destroyed Taylor Fritz. He had a little problem with Felix Auger-Aliassime, but got by him as well. And the reason he did this is largely because he was like 74%+ service won. So his serve was more effective than like John Isner's and Riley Opelka's. His overall numbers really aren't that impressive, even with having won. So, like, I never bet on him even once because the overall numbers, like, his return isn't that great. But if you're hitting 74-75% of your serves successfully, your margin of error is just massive. So he gets it done. Now, is he someone to look at to win a slam on grass? Well, I mean, if he hits 75% of his serves, anything's possible. But I didn't bet on him once. So anyway, just Tim Van Righthoven. Literally have never put him in a spreadsheet before that I'm aware of. And trust me, I got all kinds of randoms on spreadsheets. Not once with that dude. And he wins a tournament. So anything is, once again, anything possible. And that's what makes sports the greatest reality show of it all. NBA Finals tonight resume. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to say?
I'm just looking this guy up. He's only played 8 career singles matches.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
He destroyed these guys. Like, Medvedev's like, you just crushed the number 2 player in the world. It's just like, what? Hey, man. That is the thing about serve bots, though. Like, it just is a hack for the whole sport, right? If you can't return that thing, it just makes the, you know, makes it less of an actual art. But good on him, man. See if he can continue it. So, Celtics Warriors, Game 5, the biggest sporting event, obviously, in this country tonight, is that. De facto best of three, back to San Francisco. Interminable waits between every game. But, you know, this is why they went 2-3-2 back in the days, because the Lakers and Celtics were playing in so many finals. Boston, Los Angeles, the travel was such. They're like, finals 2-3-2. Well, it's not Lakers-Celtics, but it is Warriors-Celtics, and it's not a 2-3-2. It's 2-2-1-1-1 like it used to be. Maybe the extra day of rest is good with that kind of travel, but it's the Steph Curry show, man. And I just want to point out again, for those of us who have seen all of this and lived it in the Bay, you have to understand, when the Warriors drafted him, the next two big events in the career of Steph Curry were, one, the ankle injuries are such that I don't know if this guy can go on, and two, when the Warriors traded Monte Ellis, which was essentially picking Steph Curry as the focal point of your offense over Monte Ellis, who could give you 30 points a game and not make anybody better, the entire Bay Area lost their collective minds. That is from whence this dude came. And not only has he been just a rocket ship to the Hall of Fame, the best shooter in the history of the NBA, I think you have to add one of the best offensive players, period, because his handle gets overlooked. And he rode them. I mean, listen, everybody said it. It's true. He put them on their back. So I guess the question here, Jeff, is the Warriors are 3.5-point favorites tonight. The total's 211. The Warriors are minus 130 now on the adjusted series price, going back to that. One, do you have a bet? Or is every single game really just Plinko? And two, like, how do you even process what you've seen? There's a Celtics crowd, right, that is like, well, the Celtics have dominated 3 of 4 games. I mean, they should totally be up in this series 3-1 and on their way to the title were it not for the greatness of Steph. But I would counter to that. I think I'm on just as solid ground in saying the Warriors should be up 3-1. They were up double digits heading into the fourth in game one, was it? Yeah, game one. So what gives in all of that?
The series score is correct to me.
Right.
We are in the right spot. How we got there was a little bit funky, but it being 2-2 heading to game five is right. I thought after Boston took the 2-1 lead, I thought the series, especially with how gimpy Curry looked after game three, I thought it was all right, we're probably done here unless if Steph is back to himself.
Like, can I just interrupt?
Please.
What a microcosm of his career this will be if the Warriors end up winning it, because there's that moment in the middle of the series where you're like, forget the Warriors winning. We just hope he can play. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, you're 100% right, because after that ankle injury, I was like, oh my God, he can barely walk. And coming out and having that all-time performance in game four, especially where in a series where Klay Thompson's really only had one game where he's been any good, Andrew Wiggins has probably been the second best player for Golden
State. Probably so.
And Draymond has been virtually unplayable at the end of games. And it hasn't mattered. This series is tied at 2.
It's so bad.
I'm staying off of the series. I completely talked with Drew last week while you were out, basically like, do we just take points with the dog and just hope these games are close at this point? But I'm staying off completely, and I expect this thing to go to a game 7, which will be a coin flip game, basically.
Do you remember when Dr. Bob came on here once? When Dr. Bob would come on and do NBA, obviously he does other sports with us, but when he used to do NBA, do you remember the outlandish remark he made here that got chuckles from everybody when
That was the Looney remark, right?
He said, Kevon Looney is more important to the Warriors than Klay Thompson is. Klay Thompson, some may argue, like myself, that he's headed to the Hall of Fame. So that comes off as this bizarro comment, like, oh, so wrapped up in his analytics, he can't see the bigger picture. Whew, that's kind of aging pretty okay.
Well, the injuries kind of
changed
that up.
For sure. But I think the point that he's making about Looney, I think, resonates a little more than it used to. I'm just riding my Warriors plus 550 home. And when the Warriors are dogs, I take them every time. I can't take the Celtics when they're dogs. Should be fascinating tonight. Got a question about Steph, too, on the other side. We'll talk baseball with Jeff. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Still to come, Ben Wilson on college baseball, Wes Reynolds on, among other things, the U.S. Open, Paul Spohr on Major League Baseball, Andy McNeil on the Stanley Cup playoffs. The only other question I have to ask about the Celtics and the Warriors, you know exactly what I'm about to ask here, Jeff. 1969, the first year they gave out the MVP, the only year that they gave out the trophy, finals MVP, to the player on a losing team, the logo, Jerry West, or as one generation knows him, an absolutely bat-you-know-what crazy human being as portrayed on HBO's Winning Time.
I was going to say, the MVP trophy got destroyed in Winning Time.
That's right. Take all those quote-unquote facts as you will. Do you think Steph could actually get this if the Warriors lost in seven?
Okay, so if I were voting, absolutely, assuming that this pace continues.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jason Tatum, to me, there has been this proclamation within NBA circles that Jason Tatum is this top five player, top seven player already, which I beg the question of, what are we watching here?
I love the word proclamation.
But that's what it's been.
Was a bugle involved in that?
I think it was a flugelhorn, actually. Yeah. We got Chuck Mangione on the flugelhorn. Yeah. But look, Gil, if I were voting, assuming that Steph continues to play at this level, even if Golden State were to lose in seven, especially, or even six, it would probably be him. Now, do I think that happens? No. I think in the end, if Boston wins the series, it'll either be Tatum or Brown.
I feel like we're as close to that as we've ever been.
The only other argument is, if LeBron didn't win it in 2015, the year they gave it to Iguodala, how can you give it to anyone else?
Ah, yeah, that's where my being in the Bay and Warriors fanhood sort of colors my perspective on that. Because for me, it was like, yeah, he should win it. You know, so I don't know. Maybe I'm not the guy to chime in on that. Anyway, I hope the Warriors take care of it, again, for my futures, for everybody else who has futures on this, and just to stifle all the Celtics love. Let's go, Dubs. Let's get it done tonight. 3.5-point favorites hosting the Celtics at Chase. I did make a couple college baseball bets. The only two games today, we will talk to Ben Wilson, his thoughts coming up. But the only two games that are being played today, because six out of the eight spots the College World Series have already been determined, and they are, once again, Texas A&M, Texas, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Notre Dame. Those six teams all in, Notre Dame with the huge upset of Tennessee. Today, the two games, they're for the final two spots. UConn and Stanford in the Stanford Super Regional. Stanford's a huge favorite in this. I think Stanford wins this game. I don't know if you want to lay the minus 235. I did for a small amount of money. But then I got Auburn in the Corvallis Super Regional. I got Auburn at plus 131 against Oregon State. I'm taking the Tigers. A large reason of that is Oregon State, their closer, Ferrer, pitched about, I think it was three innings last night to close that game. So he will not be available for any duration like that tonight. that's tonight, actually. So I'm all over Auburn, plus 131. That's the other thing I'll talk to Ben about, which is the weird lines in these college baseball super regionals specifically. Like Ole Miss incessantly being a dog against Southern Miss, and Southern Miss taking all this money. Made no sense whatsoever. You're just like, Ole Miss is better. Like, why is that happening? And who knows how much money it actually takes to move a market like a college baseball super regional game. But it's fascinating to watch how people were just, how the money just kept going in the same direction every game. Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I just want to bring something up real quick, because while on my vacations to the New Jerseys and the Illinois of the world, where these numbers were dished a little more available than here, There were a lot of weird run lines in this. Like Notre Dame, I looked just yesterday for the heck of it. Notre Dame was getting 3.5 runs yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
In a game they ended up obviously winning.
Well, because Tennessee was
I know. Tennessee is one of the best teams in the last 20 years in college baseball, and they're not even in Omaha.
I actually had somebody tweet me, Len, who was like, I'm so glad you always say sometimes the best bets are the bets not made, because he wanted to take Tennessee minus 2.5, and he was like, better not do that. Notre Dame, Notre Dame was always feisty, as Ben told us 10 days ago. Probably tell us that again today. So anyway, I'm in on both Stanford and Auburn in the College World Series today. Okay, baseball, just real quick, because you went to Anaheim to watch your Mets. Mets take 2 out of 3. Mets with the best record in the National League. But let me go back to the Yankees for a second here. Our first baseball comments since coming back here from a week off. First of all, Matt Carpenter drove in 7 yesterday. Let me just point that out. That's just the first thing. Matt Carpenter, who is not allowed to have his beard, and you may be like, is that Matt Carpenter? 7 RBI for the Yankees yesterday. Home winning streak is 11 games, 18-4 over the Cubs. The Yankees won their 11th in 12, so they're 11 out of their last 12 they've won, and they reached the 60-game mark in our season. And don't forget, Mark Borchardt and I, every quarter, we will do our whole baseball stat shebang, where we do 5-inning numbers, first-inning numbers, umpires, all that kind of thing. So we're about 20 games away from that. But their first 60 games of the year now, Jeff, they have won 44 of them. 44-16. That's the 5th time in Yankee history that that has happened, 44 wins or better in the first 60 games. It is the 6th time since 1940 that a team has won at least 44 of their first 60 games. Just the 6th time, 6th, since 1940. 82 years of baseball, 83 years. Only 6 times has a team won as many as 44 games in the first 60. And it is the best 60-game start of any team since the 2001 Seattle Mariners, who went 47-13 in their first 60. And by the way, if you were betting back in 2001, as some of us were, who could forget that Mariners team, which ended up winning 116 baseball games? That whole team might have been juiced. That whole team might have been juiced. When Brett Boone is just jacking them. What is that? Brett Boone, Edgar Martinez. Was that A-Rod and Junior? I know Ichiro was on that team, I believe. That team was loaded offensively. Anyway, they went 47-13, and so I guess I just ask the question, at 44-16, do you see this continuing to some degree, or you see with a tough schedule in front of them that this is going to regress heavily?
Just looking at the 01 Mariners team real quick before I answer your question, Brett Boone had an OPS of 950.
Trust me.
37 homers and 141 driven.
Here's my recollection of that team. That was like Bay Area internet bubble years. And so all day long, all I would be doing, when they have a day game, all I would be doing is tracking the Mariners. It didn't matter how many runs they fell behind. You're like, oh, they're winning. They were so ridiculously good, that team. Brett Boone, what was his OPS?
950. Edgar Martinez at a 966. I mean,
professional hitter.
Edgar's one of the best hitters of all time.
Ichiro was on that team, right?
Yes, Ichiro was there. No Griffey. That was, of course, Griffey's. Yeah, Griffey was in Cincinnati at that point. Yeah. But
was A-Rod?
No, A-Rod was gone.
Was Texas, I think, at
that
point.
Yeah, he was in Texas. Mike Cameron was their starting center fielder, who had 25 homers that year
What bat am I forgetting on that team? Edgar?
John Olerud.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Anyway, it always seemed like it was Boone and Martinez.
David
and
Bell,
Ichiro.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, right. I think based off this, Olerud, Cameron, young Ichiro. Regardless, to answer your question, yes, on the Yankees, their schedule gets significantly more difficult, yep, as the year goes along. They have really beaten up the bad teams in the American League, and they beat up a horrible Cubs team over the weekend in the Bronx. They are really good. They are the best team in the American League. I am just curious to see, once they start playing better competition, how good this team really is. And, Gil, if we get what currently the way it's seated, the top two teams in each league, if we get a Yankees-Astros and a Met-Dodger-NLCS, the folks in Manhattan in the MLB office are going to be absolutely thrilled in a year where, look, we were talking about, oh, my goodness, baseball's destroying themselves with this lockout. And if they end up with a Mets, Dodgers, Yankees, Astros championship series, they're going to be just fine with that.
Remember, expanded postseason, though, right? And baseball is the most random of all postseasons.
Right, right. But again, keep in mind, if you end up in those top two seeds, which those teams currently are, humongous advantage.
Yeah. The third division winner will take on the worst wild card team, and the first and second best wild card teams will take on each other. Those are best of threes, correct?
Wild card series are best of threes with the better team hosting all three games.
That's right. That's right. The most ridiculous quirk of them all. They're hosting all three games. Yankees have the sixth hardest remaining schedule in all of baseball, which is, you know, 5-11. I don't know if that's a story. I really don't.
Not that bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's still over 100 games left, for goodness sakes. What are we doing with strength of schedule? But hard, but, like, not ridiculously so. We'll talk to Paul Spohr, more about baseball a little later on. Next, Ben Wilson, college baseball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. New customers can download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA Finals game. And if either team hits a three-pointer in the game, just one, you'll win $200 of free bets. Just use code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, booster odds, specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if either team hits a three-pointer in any NBA Finals game. Think that's going to happen? I think so. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeffrey, look who just walked in the studio.
Our guy, Ben Wilson.
Wow, that was a very delayed
delayed
reaction.
It's Gil, it's 7:45 in the morning. For Jeff, he's a little slow on the draw.
I was trying to come up with something witty, and my brain just didn't work. Well, it happens from time to time.
Go back to the lab. You'll come back with something.
Go back to the lab.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Wilson in the house. Ben, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Gil. Any invite from you is a reason to stop by the studio.
Tell the truth. You're dog sitting, and you happen to be in the neighborhood. Isn't that what happened?
I mean, I'm not a morning person, but when the dog is getting up at 6 a.m., you're kind of you're invested already.
Listen,
for the day.
Whatever you want to sweet talk me with, that's cool.
All good.
Listen, Ben, you were on here 10 days ago. You and I were on. And then you were with Jeff this past week. Did you guys talk college baseball at all last week?
We felt obligated to talk about it just because of the success we had with you, Gil. And
dude,
we had more success.
Table again? Yeah.
So just to refresh again, I said this at the beginning of the show, but when you were here with me, this was before the regionals, and you gave out Oklahoma plus 265, Auburn plus 150, Notre Dame plus 145. As of this moment, all three of those teams are still alive, two of which, Oklahoma and Notre Dame, already in the College World Series. We'll find out if Auburn will get there today. We'll get your thoughts on the two games today momentarily. I had four futures, Texas 15-1, Stanford 30-1, A&M 40-1, Ole Miss 100-1. We'll find out if Stanford gives me half of the field, Ben.
Oh, man.
And the key is, and let's start here, without Tennessee. So for those who are unfamiliar with Ben does play-by-play for multiple sports, college baseball being one of them.
Correct, yes.
I actually texted you at one point. I was like, Ben, you should be doing these games because these guys.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really bet on him if you're calling him. So that's the classic quandary of, yes, I would love to be doing every game, but then I would not be able to have this conversation with you.
Do you agree with me when I say this? That this, the College World Series, regional, super regionals, and the World Series itself, is one of the great betting vehicles of the entire calendar.
I completely agree. And I think part of it is because we are so analytically driven now in the way we bet sports. I would argue that college baseball is one of the remaining few vestiges of sports that are really, really difficult to analytically break down. It's just hard because there's so many different varying factors. And we've seen throughout time and time again, home field advantage really does not mean anything in college baseball. Seeding does not really mean anything in college baseball. And like the emotions, the way these, like Tennessee was the perfect example.
Awesome.
A bunch of 18-year-olds who were just the cockiest group of suckers around.
So bad.
As soon as one thing went against them, they just completely panicked. Their fans panicked. And you don't really, even in college basketball, which we always kind of consider is like, okay, that's the one sport where you don't know it, whatever. Not like you can't have no idea what's going to happen.
That's right.
But Tennessee was a great example. Maybe the top second or third best regular season team of all time in college baseball.
53-7.
And they completely melted down. And you end up getting these prices where, I think books look at this from a very traditional sense of, okay, team X did this, team B did this, so we're going to price it accordingly with like a normal baseball line would be. And you see that the variance shows us that those lines are just out of whack, and you can get tremendous value betting on the dogs.
So two things. One, did you just pronounce vestige as vestige? Did that just happen?
So Jeff knows that I like to pronounce big words in slightly different ways. So I like to say behemoth at times.
Do you as well? Yeah.
Just not not when I'm actually doing a game.
But with you, Gil, I wasn't going to let that slide.
With you, Gil, I can do it.
Yeah, no, you can do anything you want. And then the second thing is, so Tennessee makes sense, right? Because they were this behemoth, as you say.
Behemoth, yeah.
And so I understand why the lines were what the lines were, but you could tell, as you pointed out 10 days ago, like Notre Dame's not much worse than this team is. And it was just, I was at a TGI Fridays at Dallas-Fort Worth going nuts when Tennessee loses Notre Dame. You can imagine how well that went over there in Dallas-Fort Worth. The whole, like, southern complete, wave there in the sort of the fan sentiment watching these games. But what I really want to ask you is about some of the other ones. Like Ole Miss, which hasn't lost a game in either the regionals or the super regionals. They're 5-0, and they're headed to the World Series. Like, people couldn't stop themselves from betting Southern Miss continually, every single game. And so every time Ole Miss would be +140, +150, and you're like, what am I missing about this? And that's the kind of irrational behavior. And it does make you go back to the whole betting thing of, because it is an illiquid market, it probably moves on just who knows how many fans of that one school betting more than the other, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I mean, last night, like Stanford was, I saw it -170 in the morning, and I'm thinking, that seems a little cheap, but I think Stanford, they're down 1-0. They're in a desperate season's obviously over if they lose and they're home to UConn. And yeah, by the time that game closes, market's well over $2. But I think a lot of the traditional kind of raw narrative things that bettors talk themselves into, it certainly applies in college baseball. And when you don't have as many of the raw data, like hardcore analytics to go off of, there's certainly some, but it's not as deep as, say, like going into a Ken Pom deep dive for college basketball. Yeah, you get narrative street coming out where it's like, Ole Miss shouldn't have even been in the tournament. They basically got in because
it's amazing.
Because it's Oxford and it's SEC baseball.
Right.
And yet they go on this heater. They don't even give up a run in those two games to Southern Miss.
Ole Miss, not only should they not have been in, as you point out, because they get in for blue-bloodedness, let's put it, but then they had to overcome the tropical storm hurricane issue in Miami where they were already prepared to just advance Miami. So, like, they had to, like, dodge the weather to actually play those games. So let me ask you about these two games today. So only two spots still determined. UConn-Stanford, these are, again, in the Super Regionals, best of threes. These are all one. These both are 1-1. Stanford's a -235 favorite. And then in the game tonight in Corvallis, Auburn's +131 against Oregon State.
I see it circa right now. Auburn's +140, which
gotta play that. Right?
I will go ahead and throw, just Jeff Parles and I've talked about it. I'll go ahead and throw the undefeated record on the line, Gil. We'll go with Auburn. Well, and the thing, too, so for a lot of these teams that get down 1-0, so Oregon State last night, they throw their ace, Connors Yerpe, who's just their all-American top pitcher.
And their closer went three innings.
Yes. So, and it was, look, really, really tight game. You could argue. I mean, Auburn had a pretty brutal error if you watch that game in the middle. Well, they had fought back to tie the game. So Auburn, they didn't have to go deep in their bullpen. Their two of their relievers combined for 3 1/3 innings. So they're in a really good spot pitching-wise today, which is huge for these game threes. Like we saw with Virginia Tech the other day, their starting pitchers, I think, each went fewer than two innings. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing left in the tank for game three. And Oklahoma was still priced at like plus 145. And they had a really, really good deep complement of relievers. So I would go with the same approach today where Auburn has been undervalued this entire time. Ironic for a team that's in the SEC. Right. That generally the betting market is all over any SEC team. Right. But we talked about this.
With Arkansas was kind of the same thing.
We talked about this with Auburn, though, in the regionals. They were, I think, the second longest odds of the 16 teams out of their regional. They were plus 150. They weren't getting any respect for a team that was hosting. And against in Oregon State, I mean, the first game of that series, I saw as high as like plus 210, which is insane. These teams are basically even on paper. And Oregon State, if you look at the personnel between Oregon State and Stanford, most people would tell you Stanford was significantly a step above Oregon State. Is that number one class of the Pac-12 this year?
Me and Porras were saying off air this week, we were like, between tennis and college baseball, we made like so much, like way more than we'll make on like football, basketball, and baseball, pro baseball combined for the year. Like seriously, like that's the conundrum of doing sports betting media, which is the thing that most people want to hear about is generally not the thing you're going to make the most money on.
It's a great point.
So you like Auburn as well. I've already bet them.
I will stake the
7-0.
Stake the 7-0 record on Auburn today.
All right. So we don't have the College World Series updated odds yet here because obviously we have to determine the final two teams. It'll be fascinating to see what they are when they come back with Tennessee removed. Oh. But what's the team? First of all, what's the team that you think will be the short shot, and what team, without seeing the numbers yet, will you have your eye on?
I think Texas and Arkansas are going to be pretty far shortened, especially with the way Texas just looked with their backs against the wall. I mean, talk about how ridiculous that was. NCAA, they made them start at 12:15 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah.
I would think given that, I mean, Texas, remember, they at one point were projected to be a number one team, got off to a crazy start and then had some struggles, and they have the best hitter in baseball in Ivan Melendez. So I would imagine sentiment's going to push Texas way down. Arkansas at one point was like a 12-1 shot. Before we even got to the postseason, and then they didn't even get a seed. So there's still a ton of market respect. I would think that's going to be residually pumped back in on Arkansas, even though, as you talked about, they had some value in their games at times. I still think Ole Miss is going to be a pretty, like Ole Miss, Oklahoma still won't get a whole lot of respect. If Stanford wins tonight and Oregon State wins tonight, I would say Stanford becomes your new short shot if they were to hold serve.
We got to have you back once the odds are posted.
That would be great. I would love it.
Ben Wilson putting his undefeated record on the line.
Let's do it.
It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Wes Reynolds on the other side.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.